First of all, then, the novice bodhisattvas. The novice bodhisattvas are sometimes called also bodhisattvas in precepts. And these novice bodhisattvas are those, all those, who genuinely accept the bodhisattva ideal, the ideal of gaining, of attaining enlightenment, the enlightenment of a Buddha, not just for the sake of one's own individual emancipation, but so that one may contribute to the cause of universal enlightenment, the enlightenment not even of just the human race, but of all forms of life, all sentient beings. So all those who genuinely, who deeply, who profoundly accept this bodhisattva ideal as the highest of all possible spiritual ideals, these are novice bodhisattvas. This isn't, of course, just a question of intellectual understanding. Anybody can read a book about Buddhism, about the Mahayana, and understand these words, but they don't thereby become novice bodhisattvas. A novice bodhisattva is not just one who intellectually understands, who theoretically accepts, but who is deeply and genuinely devoted at the same time to the bodhisattva ideal, to the realization of the bodhisattva ideal, and who makes a real, a genuine, even a tremendous effort to practice it. And such a novice bodhisattva may even have taken what is called bodhisattva ordination, might have even formally, publicly pledged themselves to the fulfillment of the bodhisattva ideal. But about this bodhisattva ordination, we shall be saying something towards the end of the lecture. The point to remember about the novice bodhisattva is that despite his acceptance of the bodhisattva ideal, an acceptance which is not intellectual, despite his deep and his genuine, his heartfelt acceptance of it, despite his efforts to practice it, in the case of the novice bodhisattva, the bodhicitta has not actually arisen, not yet arisen. In other words, he hasn't as yet felt as an overwhelming experience, he hasn't yet felt this urge to universal enlightenment for the sake of all living beings taking complete possession of his entire being. In other words, we may say, perhaps, and this isn't said unkindly, we may say that the novice bodhisattva is a bodhisattva in every respect except the one that is most important. He's got all the rest of the equipment, but the bodhicitta itself, the will to enlightenment, as a direct, a dynamic experience, when the breath, as it were, of the bodhicitta blows through the individual and makes him a bodhisattva, that bodhicitta has not yet arisen. But the novice bodhisattva, by virtue of his acceptance, his genuine acceptance, by virtue of his effort to practice the bodhisattva ideal, is genuinely a novice bodhisattva and is on the way, has set his foot on the path. And we must admit that most sincere followers of the Mahayana, whether in the East or in the West, they fall into this category of novice bodhisattva. The novice bodhisattva, among other things, devotes a great deal of time to studying the Mahayana scriptures, those which deal with the void, with emptiness, with shunyata, with the ideal of the bodhisattva, with the paramitas. He devotes a great deal of time to the study of these scriptures. He tries to absorb them. He, as it were, soaks himself in the spirit of these texts. He may not read very much in the sense of not reading many volumes, not reading commentaries and expositions. He may read just a very few volumes, a few pages even, but he reads them again and again, and he steeps himself in the spirit of them and tries to feel them, tries to make the teaching, as it were, one with his own mind and one with his own heart. And it is the traditional practice in many parts of the Mahayana Buddhist world that the novice bodhisattva should learn some of these scriptures, some of these profounder teachings like the Heart Sutra, actually by heart. And not only that, not only learn them by heart, and not only repeat them from time to time, especially, say, at the end of a meditation, but should even make copies of them. Making copies of scriptures is a practice to which the Mahayana attaches very great importance. It doesn't mean writing hastily. It doesn't mean writing by hand simply because you haven't got a printing press. It means writing, producing in your own hand, because this is in itself a sort of contemplation, a sort of meditation. You have to concentrate so that you can form the letters beautifully, so that you don't miss any words, so that you don't make any spelling mistakes. You concentrate. And then you're all the time thinking of the meaning. At least something of the meaning is percolating through into the conscious mind, sinking perhaps drop by drop into the depths of the unconscious mind, influencing, transforming. So great importance is attached traditionally to this copying of text. Not just copying even, but even illuminating. Just as in the West, we find in the Middle Ages, in the monasteries, the monks spent hours and days, weeks, months, years, illuminating manuscripts, burnishing them with gold, decorating them with red and blue, and all sorts of beautiful pictures and designs. Only the other day, I can't resist this little digression, by the way, only the other day I was looking through a volume of French miniature paintings of the Middle Ages, and I was quite astonished to discover one of them, which might almost have come out of the Tibetan Book of the Dead. It was an illustration to a book of an illuminated manuscript, which is called the Hours of the Duke of Rohan, I think, as far as I recollect. And this was a picture, this was an illustration of the dead man face to face with his judge. And this wasn't done in the traditional sort of Renaissance style of Christian art at all, Christian religious art at all. It wasn't done like that. You just saw the corpse of the dead man. It was done very, very realistically, and it lay at an angle diagonally across the page. And it was, it was just like a corpse. You could hardly have anything more corpse-like than that. It was done with gruesome realism. And then, as it were, breaking upon it, you had a sort of explosion of blue, studded with golden stars, and in the midst of that was the face of the judge. Those of you who have read the Tibetan Book of the Dead will at once recognize the sort of thing. And you had the impression of this blaze of blue light and this blaze of gold and all these stars, and then the face, the golden haloed face of the judge, breaking in upon, as it were, breaking in upon the vision, the inner vision of this dead man. So this is the sort of thing that one has in mind when one speaks of illuminating texts, whether they're Christian texts or whether they are Buddhist texts. This is the sort of love, this is the sort of care, this is the sort of devotion which traditionally is lavished upon them, because this studying and this reading and this learning by heart and this making of copies is all done as a labor of love, is done as a sarjana, as they say in India, is done as a spiritual discipline, and not just so that you can do as many as possible, as quickly as possible. And then again, of course, the novice bodhisattva has to meditate, and especially he meditates on the four Brahma viharas. That is to say, he practices developing love towards all sentient beings, metta, and then karuna, compassion, then mudita, sympathetic joy, and finally equanimity, upeksha, perfect peace and steadiness and evenness of mind. It's said that the bodhisattva, or the would-be bodhisattva, especially the novice bodhisattva, should especially devote himself to the practice of the four Brahma viharas, which form the foundation later on for his development of the great compassion which characterizes the truly great, truly developed bodhisattva. And then, of course, he directs his attention to the practice of the paramitas, the perfections, giving, uprightness, and the rest, though at this stage we cannot, strictly speaking, call them paramitas, because they haven't been conjoined as yet with wisdom. And, of course, the novice bodhisattva performs, in some cases every day, performs the sevenfold puja, which we also recite, as you know, perform, as you know, at the conclusion of our gathering every Friday, as well as on other occasions. And again, the novice bodhisattva cultivates the four factors for the arising of the bodhicitta, as mentioned by the Acharya Vasubandhu. And of course, again, he tries to be straightforward, helpful, friendly, sympathetic in all the dealings, in all the affairs of daily life. So this is the novice bodhisattva, one who genuinely accepts, who sincerely practices the bodhisattva ideal, who is deeply committed to it, but in whom as yet the bodhicitta, the will to enlightenment, has not yet arisen, not yet manifested. One who is about, perhaps, to break through into that great experience.